Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
We're back
on the Creep Dive.
Good evening.
You know that because you clicked into our episode, and for that we thank you kindly.
Welcome to ye. How are the pair of you doing?
Good.
Feeling good?
Menstruating hard.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
By the time this is released,
as
you won't
I press my gusset against your furniture.
That beanbag you're sitting on, seen a few fucking things.
Oh, I'd say so. It's haunted.
So when you buy a second hand beanbag.
You are buying someone's jizz.
Do you know what I imagine it to be? Spooge.
That looks like that could be spooge.
Everything in this room, except for the wicker chair.
Apart from a wicker.
Yeah. Although sometimes
you wouldn't want
to bear
arse on a wicker.
You wouldn't want bear. Hence, I put the little towel down for myself. So I bought that beanbag off two teenage boys.
I'm so happy.
Only,
did they own it jointly? Was this their like?
I think it was in their like.
Did they have shared custody of a beanbag?
It was student. It was a shared. Do you know what it was? Do you remember back in the old days when you were like, "What should we do about the contraceptive?" And I believe there was a sponge called the sponge.
Yeah, yeah. There was a whole Seinfeld episode about the sponge.
And the sponge was a, did you soak it in spermicidal jelly and then stuff it up?
From what I remember of Julia Louis-Dreyfus's, you know, A-plot in this episode of Seinfeld, it was like a natural sponge. And they became very hard to get.
Absolutely. Or like bits of it would tear off in your fingers as you were trying to retrieve it.
It still sounds better than a condom.
It's just...
Also, I had my own natural form of contraception, which was... looking the way that I did when I was a teenager.
Same.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
Yeah, wasn't it?
And then I was a born again Christian as well.
Oh, wow. You had that
and closetedly queer. So it was
You're
fantastic.
Like a human double con.
Yeah, I was a self-hating bisexual, quite ugly and a bit of a goth.
Yeah.
Awesome. Such a great combo.
I used to wear skirts over jeans.
We all did, Cass.
I used to wear long sleeve tops under short sleeve tops.
I still
tops.
Do that every now and then. I think that's a good look.
It's
I
a
think
look.
So too.
It's
Avril Lavigne's bringing it back. She's about to reoccur in our lives. Are you ready for a little titbitterini?
Give us a titbitterini.
So something floated into our DMs today and I said to myself, now there's an individual we can all relate to. Headline, Florida man arrested after trying to cross the Atlantic in hamster wheel vessel. You're going to have to get a visual on this thing. So what we're looking at is a big metal construction of a hamster wheel stuffed full of boys for the inflation. Florida. And along the kind of the way it would move, there's paddles along the outer, so two wheels and sort of an area in between them, and along the wheels either side, paddles. But you'd have to walk and propel this thing, and it would sort of walk on the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've all had this bath toy actually as children.
Absolutely right. So yeah. You wind it up and off it goes.
There you go, Cass. It's picky.
Oh, little paddling thing. So the US Coast Guard intercepted an individual by the name of Reza Bellucci about 110 kilometers off TB Island in Georgia on the 26th of August. Oh, it didn't happen. It's classic me. So anyway, officials say that this 44-year-old marathon runner.
This is very marathon runner behavior.
Mm-hmm. Refused to leave his DIY vessel for 3 days.
Oh, that's a lot of poo and pee.
Reza.
Poo-poo. And is it rolling with him?
It's floating on top of the ocean.
Yeah, but obviously to move, it spins.
I imagine, yes, or he's in a contraption that stays up, is how I'm imagining, straight, and then everything's spinning around him. That's the only way you could survive that. Otherwise, you'd be going vertigo, up and like,
yeah,
horrendously sickening. But he was determined. And he has, it would appear, tried 3 similar voyages before, all of which ending in Coast Guard intervention. So he was using, so the makeshift kind of contraption-y thing he was using, shaped, like I was saying, 2 wheels, a paddle, designed to propel it forward as the wheel revolves. So you get the idea.
Yeah.
So the U.S. Coast Guard here is quoted, based on the condition of the vessel, which was afloat as a result of wiring and buoys, the officers determined Bellucci, Reza, was conducting a manifestly unsafe voyage.
Oh, they should have let him at it.
So do I think. Let him, leave him alone.
Have at it and let us all be spectators of this misadventure.
Mm-hmm. But the problem was, and the reason they probably did intervene, was his voyage began just as the Coast Guard was preparing for the arrival of an enormous hurricane. So they were all preparing and they had grounded all the vessels and they were like, everybody out of the water, batten down the hatches. What the fuck is that?
What is that?
And there was just no way of not intervening. Do you know that way? Like, and I imagine they probably initially went to sniff around, but it turns out they knew him. So they
were like, it's your man.
So they were like talking to him to lifeguard, you know,
loudspeakers.
Drones were flying around the place and he was refusing to step off the vessel. He was threatening to harm himself.
Oh, fuck.
While also claiming he had a bomb on board.
Oh, okay. Fuck.
So
he's jumping the shark
on this one on days. So on the 1st of September, he eventually surrendered and abandoned his vessel after being brought to the Coast Guard base in Miami. And the bomb that he had constructed, fake.
Oh.
So he's now facing federal charges of obstruction of a boarding and violation of a captain of the port order.
Very good.
So it's unclear whether he had obtained a lawyer to represent himself thus far. But as we said, not his first arrest.
Now he screams, I'm representing myself.
Massive energy.
Massive self-representation energy there.
All of those self-representation are also, I'm an athlete energy. Yeah. And I'm coming across
Wait,
this.
What was his name again?
Oh, Jesus.
Anyone who went to the live show in Cork remembers. Larry.
Larry. Another fucking Larry. I'm an athlete.
But
leave
our original
alone.
Larry was lovely.
So he seems to be fixated on crossing great bodies of water. So 2021, he was arrested after being rescued while trying to ride from Florida to New York on a makeshift vessel. And he had drifted 30 miles south of his departure point. Like, the man was failing massively.
Like,
again,
literally going the opposite direction to where he was aiming for.
Another huge row. I won't get off. I simply won't be rescued. And then in 2014, he had to be rescued again. Similar contraption to the rolling hamster wheel near St. Augustine. And then 2 years later, had to be rescued yet again off the coast of Jupiter near Palm Beach in Florida. And according to some previous interviews, Mr. Bellucci said he was attempting the voyages to raise money for a variety of causes, including the Coast Guard. In the name of God.
I'm raising money for you guys.
Also, he threw the homeless in there too. He said, my goal is to not only raise money for homeless people, raise money for the Coast Guard, to raise money for the police department, to raise money for the fire department. They are in public service. They do it for our safety and they help people. Now, he won't be stopped. Whatever short term he'll serve in prison, he will be planning and plotting his next eventual rescue from the ocean.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He'll be drawing up the actual blueprints in his cell.
Leonardo da Vinci style. He'll have coded all the things. He'll have invented a language to code the development of the vessel for fear that somebody else will steal his designs because he's a genius and an athlete. He'll also be doing kind of long stretches of, like, you know, veganism while in prison. Mm. He'll take a notion.
A lot of onanism.
Onanism. And he'll become an extremophile.
Take a notion in the ocean.
He will.
He certainly will. Oh my goodness.
You love to see it though. And
it does remind me of some college hijinks that...
What happened?
I participated in the building of a raft.
Team building thing.
As far as I remember, it was made out of, do you know the empty water bottles for water fountains? You know, those big.
Very good.
Yeah.
That sounds like it would work.
And then it was floated in a body of water that was prohibited from entering in UCD. So NCAD went to UCD for the day and tried to float their homemade raft on the UCD lake pond thing.
Just a rollicking good time.
Just a classic art school. Some of the greatest horseplay of all time.
Before you launch into your giant one, will I just give you a quick one on constipation and amnesia?
Yeah, I'm 100%. Dying for this.
This is an oldie but a goodie. And I believe I might have mentioned this years ago because it was a long time ago and it read, but sure, I'll tell you once and I'll tell you again. According to Chinese newspaper Sky Post, an unnamed woman strained so hard that she suffered temporary amnesia for about 8 hours.
Oh my God.
Concerned that she suddenly couldn't remember anything from the last decade, her family took her to the hospital. And according to her son, she had been suffering a desperate bout of constipation for a while and had had a mental blackout because of it. After spending the night at the hospital, she woke miraculously with all her memories, mysteriously, and thankfully restored, good for her. She didn't even realise that this had happened and she had no recollection of the drama shit she had taken the night before. So Hong Kong-based neurologist Dr. Ping Xingoids, get in touch, attributes this incident to something defined in medical terms as the transient global amnesia. So this happens when blood flow and oxygen to the brain gets compromised by the jugular vein valve. And he said such occurrences usually happen when people are very emotional or carrying enormous heavy weights.
Like in their bowel.
Maybe she was emotional about the constipation.
Absolutely could have happened. So he also did say that excessive straining can sometimes cause a separate condition called separate condition, which basically means that you faint and lose consciousness from excessive straining. Or weightlifters blackout. They get this a lot. Have you seen any of those little videos around the place?
Oh, when they faint when they're lifting the weights.
Can be very, very dangerous. There was a man only this year, a weightlifter, who was trying for a PB, all filmed for his tickety-tock.
It's a personal best for non-athletes out there.
I thought it was peanut butter. Yeah.
And he lifted the weight up. It came down on whatever way on his neck. Broke his neck, died instantly.
Fuck me.
Oh, man in his 30s.
Peak of his performance.
Jesus.
Failed PB. Peanut butter failure. And something similar then happened to a 58-year-old man in Taiwan in 2016. Woke up with this condition of transient global amnesia after being constipated the night before.
Jesus.
That is so gas.
Guys, get your fiber.
Get your ass in gear.
get your fight. And according, oh, that sounded like somebody was, in another yeah, room was just having, having a breakthrough.
According to his neurologist, he was also in a very intense emotional state after watching a heated political talk show.
What a fucking loser. So,
a shit-filled loser. So after
he went
watching,
on to die from being so full of shit.
So it's really, the lesson there is, and just a quick one on this lesson too. I had my appendix out very dramatically in Ayia Napa on a 6-year holiday.
And I remember.
The reason, I believe,
that
for my appendix.
That would only happen to you.
Appendectomy. Mm. It would probably. Was my Atkins, pre-holiday Atkins diet.
Oh God.
Now, when I say no fiber.
Yeah.
Believe me, I mean it.
I was there and Jen exclusively ate
bacon,
rasher cheese. And cheese sandwiches. And by sandwich, the rashers were the bread of this sandwich.
I mean, I was loving it, obviously. So that ended poorly. And I maintain the reason for that is there was no traveling of shite through my guts. And you know, of course, appendicitis is caused by something getting stuck in your appendix, which they still don't really show. Well, it's throwback, an evolutionary throwback, but they're not entirely sure
what it
does. No. But only recently, only in the last, my neighbour had appendicitis and they were like, you know, we're going to treat this with antibiotics before just going in and taking it out to see if we can cool this shit down. Something gets stuck in your appendix, a bit of food or something.
That's mad. Like, and, how is it even occurs. Over there? Why is it over
it's
there?
It's attached to your gut.
But it's super mad.
I think originally, the way cows have four stomachs because they have to digest so much fiber and pull out so much shit out of it. Mm. They think that maybe at some point we needed this extra stomach to do something similar. Okay. And then eventually our diets changed and became sort of redundant. But then a little bit of research came out that suggested it could be the source of, like, I've definitely said this before. So you've had a big, terrible gastro issue. Uh-huh. Your microbiome's been nuked. Okay. Got nothing good left.
You've got no
they
good.
They believe that maybe your appendix contracts, squirts out like a mother, a starter for your microbiome. And that could be its function.
Uh-huh.
So now they're sort of resisting taking it out. But if you, you have to get it out when it's about to burst. If it bursts, your septicemia. All desperate things can happen. You can die. Why? Where are we?
Somebody shit their minds out.
Yes. And then we're here now. Bottom line. And then
bottom
the fucking,
line.
And you just have to think there's so much exciting gut stuff going on. And the fecal transplanting stuff is so exciting.
Okay. Fecal
what are you talking about?
Fecal transplant.
Fecal.
Shit
they
transplants.
Do this to treat. What is it? They
sorry,
do it to treat.
You're right. Crohn's disease or various kind of gut kind of biome issues.
Of course,
issues
I forgot.
It's so interesting. You get the shit capsulated from a healthy operating individual,
isn't he?
I never got him to get us, but I still think it's true. Then I'm back on Parasite TikTok again.
Paratalk.
And originally I was like, this Parasite cleanse is a big load of shit.
Uh huh.
It can't. Like, they think they're shitting out worms. It's not. It's just mucus. You know, when you're watching somebody have a, what do you call it? An enema.
Okay.
And you're watching it all flow through and they're like, there's the worms. There they go.
Oh.
Never is.
Nah.
Just mucus. So then they were like, I did away with that until there was some more interesting stuff coming out about autoimmune problems and could possibly be a parasite related thing. You know, an autoimmune, they never get to the bottom of it. They're like, we don't know why your body's eating itself. It's attacking itself. We don't know why. But potentially maybe do a little actual parasite cleanse, like take a fucking worm pill. Don't just drink a load of citric acid and, you know, bean. You're going to have to stop me. Because there's no it's natural like, end. Because I'll just go isn't. Straight on to the next. That is what I've got inside me. And now it's out.
That's
everyone
shit
happy?
Corner. It's happy. Free. It's floating.
And that's our episode. Thank you. We spoke once again for an hour and a half straight.
I'm sorry about that. It's funny though. It's just stuff happens and you're just like, that's amazing. So anyway, Sophie, are you going to, what flavour, like, what flavour are you bringing here?
Absolute no. horror show.
Oh God. Has there been a guts and
we,
gore?
We should have saved the shit corner for after this that we could
as
all.
As a cleanse.
As a cleanse.
Damn. I'll get a quick cleanse on the go in the interim.
I have a little cleanse for the end.
Okay. Fabulous. So I'm returning to a creep that we once just had as a creep of the week, but he's creep of the century.
Oh.
And I said, we've never told the full story, so let's do it now.
Is it Donald Trump?
No, that would be such a good one. Oh, it's too vast. That's a rich text.
Is it the Marquis de Sade?
Oh, no. Oh, we have to return to that. No, it is BTK.
Oh, her, his daughter is all over me.
So, yeah, she's out and about again in the last couple of months because there's been some cold cases that are potentially linked to her father, who is BTK, who was a notorious serial killer. His name was Dennis Lynn Radar. And so his Carrie Rawson is the daughter, and she wrote a memoir about being the child of a serial killer.
Oh, yes.
She's the image of him as well.
She's the absolute image of him. God love her.
Desperate.
And I actually read her book. Now, not lately. I read it like a couple of years ago.
Be right up your street.
It was really right up my street.
Yeah.
Because her, like, basically her father was doing all his crimes like entirely throughout her childhood, like having this like complete double life. And so the last time we chatted about BTK, he was being a creep of the week from his prison cell. So he was kind of essentially like trolling his daughter, and she had to get a cease contact order taken out against him because he wouldn't stop sending her little drawings
of
animals with gaping mouths and teeth. She discovered at the time that his art, quote unquote, Dennis Radar has always thought of himself as a bit of an artiste.
They all fucking do.
They do. He's got some very bad poetry, which we might get into. He's got his little drawings, and she discovered that. So she kind of had continued some contact with him. It seems like her brother completely disowned. And when his crimes were discovered and exposed, the mother got what's called an emergency divorce, which is when you can waive the 60-day waiting period.
Oh.
Like, such was her revulsion. Extreme. And
obviously not normal. I mean,
yeah. But like, Jesus, what is normal about finding out that your father has literally murdered what's known for definite 10 people
Jesus.
Over the course of what you thought was a completely normal family life.
So the parallels between the reason it's all presumably is the parallels between our current serial killer, whose name, the architect
Gigolo.
Yes. Gigolo murderer. Yeah. Serial killer.
The reason that she's back in basically when she took out that cease contact order,
not Gigolo,
it was because the dad was talking shit about her and saying to like to media outlets that she basically reminds me of me.
Oh, yeah.
And she uses the media.
Narcissism.
And she also was constantly being trolled by her father's quote unquote fans.
Disgusting. God.
And saying like, you know, that her dad's a great guy. And she also discovered that he was trading in murder memorabilia. So signing his BTK signature to crime scene photos.
Dude, it's like your tote, Whitney and Bailey. There's a big market for that shit.
It is so goddamn creepy. Also, his serial killer signature is B. Then the B is completed with a pair of boobs. And T and K. So see the picture of it there? So
stupid.
Henceforth, we'll be calling him Boobs TK.
Yeah, cool.
For the episode. But I thought that because we talked about him in brief before, I was like, we should actually get into him.
Yeah.
Because his story is one of the most unusual, I think, of any serial killers. And we don't do a murder around here too often, but...
Why do you say that?
We haven't done one in ages.
But I just was like, sure, here, let's have him. So, okay, so...
Quick question before we begin.
Mm-hmm.
Did he admit? Is he taking fine.
Okay. He's taking responsibility for 10 murders.
Okay.
There is suggestion that he is responsible for more, but he's such a bragger that I actually can't. I kind of would have thought that he'd want it because he's such a little attention whore.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to say attention? Is that okay? okay. So basically, he was born. So all of this took place in Kansas, in Wichita, the creepily named Wichita, between like in the mid 70s, he was active from 1974 to 1991. Okay.
Yes. 1974. Okay. Long stretch.
Long stretch of nearly 20 years where he was killing intermittently. And then nothing heard from him until 2004. So there was 13 years then before anything more was heard from him, and he wasn't arrested until 2005.
Whoa.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. That's like 30 years after his first murder. It's mad.
Oh my God.
And the way he got arrested is chef's kiss stupid. Okay, so basically, Dennis Lynn Rader, he's a Pisces, born March 9th, 1945. He is called BTK or Boobs TK to reference bind, torture, kill. Gave himself the nickname, which you can't really self-nickname.
We all tried in our teens.
Yeah, it's hard. Mm. It doesn't stick for most of us.
Very.
He basically, the nickname came about after he'd begun his murdering. And he wrote a letter to a newspaper. He's a great man for the letters. And in the letter, suggested a few nicknames that the media might use for him.
Oh, so he was like one of the taunty...
Taunty...
Attention.
Riddle me this, riddle me that. I'm so clever.
And was that from way back when?
From way back when. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he grew up, he's the oldest of four brothers. And he has said since... because he loves to chat about himself. Loves nothing more
incredible
than to wang on.
Exactly.
And so he has said...
When you can make yourself boring as a serial killer.
But he is very boring.
Exactly.
It's great. Like, yeah. Sorry, it's not great. It's crazy. It's And he said later that he found it actually that it's amazing that nobody noticed there was anything wrong with him when he was a kid. Because he... was weird from really early on.
In what way?
Did he kill animals?
He's killed animals. Yeah, totally. All of the kind of box ticking, torturing and killing animals. He kind of did a lot of peeping Tomery around the neighbors, watching the women, you know, getting undressed. He got into kind of sadistic sexual fantasies from a really young age. He said his parents worked long hours, and basically he described feeling ignored by his mother and resenting her for it.
So there we go. It's only a matter of time.
Passing the buck.
Massive.
As usual. And so he also then kind of graduated as a kind of a kid, young teenager, to like bondage stuff. So he would kind of sort of truss himself up and then like wank with ropes and bindings around him and things like that. And this was all, it's like really interesting because you're like, where, somewhere in his kind of psychological and sexual development, sex and arousal became fused with
pain,
this bondage very particularly, this binding. You know,
I wonder how.
And you are like, what? Now, I mean, I suppose he did tie up animals. So like a lot of serial killers, it's like one of the kind of like triad of things that
red
they say
flags
are present in children who might become serial killers. And one is like a head injury, which me and Jen have roundly refuted as being in any way a marker of anything, because everyone,
every parent has
seen their kid.
Yes.
And then there's the torturing animals one, and I suppose, or killing animals. And but it seems like he very particularly tied animals up. I know, it's messed up.
And was he caught? I mean,
No, like there doesn't seem to be any time when he was a child where he was like reprimanded for any of this. It's not like, you know, with Ed Kemper, like Ed Kemper was like hanging on to the cat's body and like, exactly. Well, Jesus,
in, his, and he was living his mother, granny's basement.
Was, you know, that was Dahmer. But yeah, his mother, Ed Kemper's mother, found bits of the cat and shit. Okay. Whereas he was with Dennis, it seems like, you know, it was real controlled, really well hidden. And so he went to high school, went to Kansas University, dropped out after 1 year. He wasn't, you know, much of a like academic. He was in the US Air Force from 1966 to 1970. So he's like 4 years. He then, like after that, was working in a supermarket. And then he met his wife, and they got married in 71, and they had two kids. And like, so far so normal, mm-hmm. apart from all the fucking weird ass zoo sadism, but he which was is what they that
hiding
is called.
That. Mm.
He was hiding it super Ted Bundy style, I think. Hi.
Okay, bye.
How are you?
Nice.
Good.
Yeah. Do you want it? No. Okay, bye.
Bye.
No. So her and Arthur are identical.
To each other?
Yeah.
No way, Mimi is identical to Jen.
Yeah, but they the same face.
Do not cut out that bit where a child was sitting in on the creep dive. How dare you pretend we're not doing bedtime stories for Mimi here. Okay, so literally doing the wife, doing the kid thing. Then he kind of got a qualification in like electronic engineering. And then he was like doing a Bachelor of Science, Jen.
Nice.
Like all
smart
people.
Fun people.
Smart, fun people, exactly. Graduated with a Bachelor of Science in 1979. So what he was doing was, and we've all been students, and it is hard to hold down a job while you're studying.
Yeah.
Also quite hard to commence doing murders while studying, it's but he did.
Busy.
It's a busy one. So he, it was January of 1974. So in 1974, he was working in the supermarket, but studying in the okay. university, I'm pretty sure.
Not married
managed,
yet, no kids.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, yes,
he'd married with the two kids by then. Okay. And so 1974, he murdered an entire family. That was his like first outing.
Holy Jesus.
He was just like fucking...
What family?
Going way hard. So they were called the Otero family. And it was two parents in their 30s, Joseph and Julia. And there was... they had a couple of older kids, but at the time of the killings, only their two younger children were in the house.
So at that point, the man had two children himself.
Two children himself who were probably close in age to Joey and Josie. Christ.
But what the fuck? So how did he go from nothing to this? Surely not. Surely there was...
Well, you see, because he had this kind of background in torturing the animals, and he had his whole its own kind of proclivities that were all about sort of self-bondage.
Okay.
And he... I think it was all going to graduate. He sort of, prior to these murders, like would have kind of done a bit of a line in stalking...
I see.
...kind of women in the area and things like
right,
that.
Ah, right, okay.
But had not made moves yet.
Yeah.
But like, it seems like he totally knew where this was going.
Mm.
Do you know that kind of way? And he also like had a kind of a thing with his own fantasies where he would tie himself up, as I said, like when he was a kid. He was still doing it as an adult. And he had like a lady mask that he'd put on himself. And then he'd take pictures of himself tied up wearing the lady mask.
Okay.
So he was doing that and he was obviously getting off on that, but really wanted to take it next level and do it to someone else.
Okay.
Do it to a woman.
Was the killing of the rest of the family.
I know what you're thinking. And don't worry, I've got you covered. You're thinking, I really want to see a man wearing a lady mask, having tied himself up. And I can provide that for you, Jen and Cassie, I presume. Let's just find it.
It's while you're finding it, is it your impression that he was after the wife and killed the other desperate victims?
Yeah.
In order to...
It's my impression that he got it wrong and thought that the husband was going to be out of the house.
Okay.
So he, it's so fucking creepy and I don't know just how he does it. So what he did was a few days before the attacks in January, he went up to little Josie Otero, who was like 9, and showed her a picture of a person and said, have you seen this person? So she was like out playing in the estate. Yeah. Like this was like suburban Kansas.
Yeah.
Houses everywhere. And she was like, no. And kind of went off and played. And so then on the day of the attack, he, literally just went up to the door of the house. She opened the door.
He said,
yeah. And he said, do you remember me? I'm just looking for this person. And she said... I don't know. Maybe my mom. And then he went into the house, closed the door, and bam, it. Gun out.
Shot everyone.
No.
Oh.
If shot fucking kid. Only.
Oh, the torture and the kill stuff. Jesus wept.
Will we have a quick sidebar for some pickies?
Let's have a look at them.
Of now, really and truly, there's surely better options for your own lady mask.
Is it a DIY number? Let's have a look. Oh, fucking Jesus.
That doesn't look like a lady.
He's got the wig.
I mean, it's fucking that's creepy. There is no so data. Creepy. It couldn't be more frightening.
There he is wearing some bra and knickers.
And you can see the binding business happening.
A lot of binding and the lady mask.
Ah, it's absolute nightmare fuel. Yeah, right. Absolutely dreadfully frightening.
This one's awful. This one's really weird.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hanging upside
he's kind
down
of thrust upside down
so it, it feels oh. like he's doing there is like I'm sure what he replicated with his victims
exactly
and this is a like really his one. Build up he's there. Dug a grave there
I'll tell you about that grave in a minute. Okay so he like I said didn't expect the father to be home and he had cut the phone lines before entering the residence. And he basically told them all, like he had the gun and he told them that he was wanted in California, which like, I don't really know why he told that, yeah. told them that. And then he brought them all into the bedroom and he covered them. So it's so vile. Like I'm not going to go into too much detail on this because it's really vile.
Okay.
But basically, he choked them with bag over the head, and it turned into an absolute shit fest because it actually really wasn't what he was planning anyway. He hadn't intended for a grown man to be there, and the two kids and the dog and. The woman and everything. It was totally getting really messy and out of control. And he, like, basically, this is so fucking horrible, but he'd put a pillowcase over their heads and then a plastic bag so that they couldn't chew through to the plastic.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And so he kind of killed the parents and then the kids separately.
Oh, God.
Absolute nightmare. And it was really chaotic because he was also just... didn't really understand even what he'd embarked on in a way. Like he said later in this, like, he's so kind of like just throw away when he talks about his crimes. He was like, oh, you know, it's just like, you don't realize how hard it is to strangle someone. And you're just like, fuck you, Dennis. Fuck you.
He's doing the athlete bit.
And yeah.
It's hard.
So there was kind of moments where he thought that he'd killed one, and then somebody, like, at one point the mother, like, was really, like, rolled not back dead. Up again and, like, was obviously, like, in the greatest pain of anyone's life imaginable. Like, you know,
Christ.
With her kids and everything.
Oh,
and
God.
The whole thing, anyway, ended just harrowing. And the reason... we know this much detail, and I mean, basically the kids, you know, didn't make it. And one of the kids he'd brought down to the basement and, you know, ended her life there. And he, fucking absolute animal that he is, like, spooged down there in the basement.
Fuck's sake.
So from Murder One, they actually had
his DNA.
DNA.
Oh.
So... put that now over your ear. Mm. The reason we know this much detail about that crime was that he wrote a letter the following year describing the whole fucking sorry tale and put it inside an engineering book in the Wichita Public Library. So I think there's like loads of layers to the kind of sadistic pleasure that he derives from his killings.
So that was an act of sadism as opposed to sort of...
So like, I think he kind of has confession. He has almost this kind of edging period where he's stalking someone and planning and planning. And then the thing about like interacting with the kid, that's like another thing he's fucking getting off on. Then he does the whole fucking murder. And then like afterwards, the little breadcrumbing of information and the general feeling of like, I'm getting one over on everyone.
Yeah.
I'm better than everyone.
Was that note found?
That note was found, but it was like more than a year later.
And after that crime, returned to life as normal, presumably.
Was living like a seemingly normal life. I'll tell you now to the extent of the normal life.
Surely the crime shocked the neighborhood. And it,
yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, Wichita like did not have murders. Like if there was like... 10 in a decade.
And like presumably,
and this was four individuals, an entire family.
Traveling lunatic.
And the maddest part is that that whole crime took place in broad daylight.
In the
middle of like a housing estate. And he just walked back out of there. Like just crazy. And like at the time now, like over the course of all the murders, he was like a scouts leader.
Yeah, of course they all are.
He was working in home security at one point.
Interesting.
That's an interesting choice,
isn't it?
Yeah, but like funny enough, it doesn't seem like he ever used that as a way of gaining entrance. And then he also, and this will come as no surprise, was like president of the local church. Jen called it. So basically then in April, only a couple of months later, he went on to murder his next victim. She was 21. Her name is Catherine. And he broke into her house. And again, this was another one where it kind of turned into a shit show. Kind of rapidly, he hadn't been expecting her 19-year-old brother, Kevin, to be there at the time. And so and he had a gun. And he managed to, he put Catherine in a bedroom and like tied her down. Mm-hmm. And then he forced the brother into kind of trying to, into restraining the sister. I mean, it was chaos. The guy was 19 years old, fucking terrified, a gun in his face. BTK ended up shooting him through the side of the head, and he actually survived.
Unbelievable.
And then he got shot a second time in the face, the brother. And like, Dennis Boobs TK thought that he had killed him.
Obviously.
And the brother fucking like, who knows through what kind of insane
two bullets
personal
in the head.
Trauma in the head, got outside, somehow got outside the house.
That's
and
mad.
Was like trying to raise the alarm. But it was all too late. Boobs had had murdered Catherine.
Jesus.
Inside the house. So then he pauses for 3 years and...
or so we believe.
Yeah, exactly. Now, there is a bit of, you know, attention seeking, shall we say. Obviously, we know about the letter that he stashed in the engineering book in the public library. And I think he was like, that's not being found fast enough. So then he, in 1978, so a couple of years after those murders and a year before his next one, he sent another letter to a TV station in Wichita claiming responsibility for the murders that had taken place and demanding that they pay attention to him. And he sent them a poem.
A poem?
Oh, yes.
A bad one.
A very bad one. And it was "Oh Death to Nancy" was the name of the poem. And he that was when he also tried to suggest a few names that the media might call him. So do you want to hear some of Dennis, aka Boobs? His names that he suggested were, "How about some name for me? It's time." Sorry, this is a couple more murders down the road. But anyway, he says, "Seven down and many more to go. I like the following. The BTK Strangler. Our Wichita Strangler. Or Poetic Strangler."
Fucking crap.
"The Bondage Strangler." Or "Psycho. The Wichita Hangman." Or "The Garrote Phantom." Or
these are all shit names.
"The Asphyxiator." Yeah. I mean, if you're coming up with names for yourself, there
shit
is really
box.
No excuse. All terrible names. So as we said, we just left Catherine and Kevin, the siblings, unfortunately, in 1974. In 1977, he murdered a 25-year-old woman called Shirley. Apparently, on that day, he had been stalking a nearby potential target who hadn't been home.
Oh dear.
And then he just
Shirley was.
He just like diverted to Shirley by following her son.
Jesus.
And
fucking monster.
It was an absolute monstrous.
He is still alive.
He is still alive. Of course he is. They live on. Luckily, Shirley's children were able to escape that time.
My God.
And the thing was like, the kids were like unable to say anything except like generic white guy.
Of course,
you know?
That's what he is.
And they're young kids and they're traumatized.
And he wasn't wearing disguises, no?
No, seemingly not. Not the lady mask anyway. But he then murdered later in that year in 1977, a young woman, also 25, called Nancy. And it is so fucking, this one is so freaky. So he had kind of watched her and began stalking her. And then in December of 77, he went to the house, knocked on the door. And when nobody answered, this was exactly what he was hoping for, he cut the phone lines for the house, then broke in and hid inside the house and like watched her come home and get changed and like go into her bed and like settle down for the night. It's the fucking ultimate terror.
Yeah.
It is the reason why I still, upon entering any house alone, check every single place.
Yeah.
And will never stop. And so he murdered her. The next day, when she hadn't been found, he called the police from a payphone. and told them that there had been a homicide at this address and gave them the address. And he obviously knew they were going to trace the call.
Yeah.
And he obviously was only fucking loving that because he's boobs and he loves the attention. Because do you remember his mother didn't pay him enough attention? Do you remember he mentioned that, the poor little pet, the poor little love?
So they were getting the police
The police got to the payphone within 2 minutes of the call.
What the fuck?
And all they found was like the handset swinging, just dangling, because he has a flare. He has a bit of a flare, the Garrote Phantom.
So they're getting no closer to him.
They are getting no closer to him, and he is constantly goading and poking the media.
But we're working our way towards DNA time.
Yes. And so again, it was after that that he sent the letter to suggest all his super cool serial killer names that he wanted. He was also very punny. There was a few times that he like ate cereal in the houses of the victims. And oh, like,
I see what you did there. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a real prick. Also, he's got like kids who are like, you know, 8 years old at this point. He's churching around the place. He's Boy Scouting around the place.
He knows exactly what he's doing.
He's a goddamn animal.
No red flags at home. No violence. No weirdness. No change in personality. No job ditch. No nothing.
No, he was just like...
It's so chilling, isn't it?
It's chilling is the word. So then he intended to kill another woman, a 63-year-old, but she managed to escape by just coming home late. And so basically he talked later in his confessions about this woman. She was 63. Her name was Anna. And he talked about how he'd become really obsessed with her and how he was, quote, absolutely livid when she never appeared at the time he expected her to come home. And he spent hours waiting at her home and then became very impatient and left when she didn't return from visiting friends. And then this incident inspired a poem called "Oh Anna, Why Didn't You Appear?"
Go on.
You want to hear the whole "Oh Anna" poem?
Give
you a little two flavor, a little flavor. Let me go to another tab, cause my God, I've so many tabs open.
Like, you're right about this being particularly weird.
His letters are.
Because of the big normality. Style
stupid. So he writes things like, I write this letter to you for the sake of the taxpayer as well as your time. Those three dudes you have in custody are just talking to get publicity for the Otero murders. They know nothing at all. I did it by myself and no one's help. There have been no talk. Let me put this straight. So basically, there was a couple of people who had come forward for that initial family murder. And then that was when he was like very irked. And started writing letters. Yes, absolutely. And so he... here we go. Poem. Oh, Anna, why didn't you appear? Tea was the perfect plan of deviant pleasure, so bold on that spring night, my inner felling hot with the propension of the new awakening season, worn, wet with inner fear and rapture, my pleasure of entanglement like new vines at night. Oh, Anna, why didn't you appear? And truly, absolutely, I don't think I can face reading any more terrible poetry from BTK. So then, okay.
What a loser. Everything about him.
Absolute loserville. Massive.
He's a fucking loser.
But also, it's terrifying.
Because
the
of
cutting the phone lines
yeah.
is so creepy. And let's never forget the lady mask.
Yes, horrible.
So then I presume, got busy with the home life on the home front. Because from 1978 to 1985, he was on sabbatical.
Okay, so he didn't kill anyone.
Didn't kill anyone. Now, like having read the daughter's memoir, it's really fucking interesting and chilling to read her memoir of her childhood, and she kind of does a parallel timeline of her father's crimes literally telling us things like, on this Christmas, Dad was assembling my bicycle. And how did we know that, like, 2 weeks before that, he was murdering Nancy Jo Fox?
Fuck
Jesus. It is, and there's like so many family pictures of like little toddler Kerry.
And were there
Wilson
any like triggers in that timeline that like indicated that these were the moments where he was like most likely to commit,
stressed or angry or hungry, something like that? No, it really
and
doesn't
how
seem
was
like
he as a father.
Like totally normcore seems to be.
She felt
her
he was
take.
Loving,
yeah,
present, and
I mean. In the main, like loving and normal, I would, fine, my guess.
Yeah.
Like her book is really fascinating. It's not like really gratuitous and salacious. It's very fucking sad.
Yeah.
And it's really, really interesting. If anyone is interested in actually
her
reading
mother's
it.
Her story wouldn't be another interesting
yeah,
dynamic.
Like, I think that woman just like,
oh Jesus,
who
wept.
Knows? But anyway, unfortunately, he returned from sabbatical in May of 1985 to kill a woman called Maureen, who was 53. And he abso-fucking-lutely went like
hell for leather on that.
Absolutely berserk on this one.
Oh, Jesus.
So do you remember that picture of him lying in the grave wearing his lady mask and the bindings? So what happened with Maureen is that he actually like killed her and then took her to this grave.
She was dead.
Sorry, abducted her and took her to this grave.
Yikes.
Fucking terrifying. Then he was having a look at the grave and he was like, actually... Killed her, got into the grave himself with the lady mask, did some photography of himself in the grave.
Jesus.
Okay. And that picture is...
That one we just saw.
Absolutely chilling. Here we go. In case anyone wants a refresher.
Head Jesus tilted, covered in muck, Christ. Wearing a mask with binding.
Yeah. And then... Like just to become like for just further defilement, he brought her body to his church.
What?
Yeah, to the Christ Lutheran Church. He was at that time president of the church council.
Where was
red flag?
Where was the body put?
So he photographed her body in all of these different like bondage positions
in the church.
In the church.
In the room of the inside by the pews.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine the altar, but I didn't find anything that specified exactly where. But like, I presume if he's bringing her there, he's going to bring her all the way to the altar.
He's not going to just bring her to the car park.
Exactly. And he also like used the church to like store some of his like murder gear, like plastic sheets and other shit. And then he took her and he just dumped her like just like a piece of trash. Mm. Is just absolutely harrowing. He... actually then got in a little spot of bother in the eight, like further along in the 80s. He was stalking these other two women, and one of the women he was stalking actually got a restraining order against him.
Oh,
so he obviously had kind of lost a bit of his sort of subtlety.
Yeah,
shall
yeah.
we say.
Would he have made contact with her, or did she just notice him? And
I think noticing.
Okay.
And then, I mean, there's another woman who worked for him who said that he behaved strangely towards her one night.
Okay.
And in the office where he like kind of closed a door and sort of kept coming towards her in an office. And she kept being like, Dennis, open the door. Open the door, Dennis. And she said like there was an absolute vacant look in his face. And then suddenly, like that, he switched back.
So
back to normal Dennis and opened the door.
An incident.
But like also remember, like these murders are all taking place. So there was a bunch of them in the 70s, then sort of suddenly again in the mid 80s, all in this tiny town of Wichita. Well, it's a tiny city. And they actually had like a dedicated police force assigned to the case.
Yeah.
Would you like to guess what they called the police force? It's even stupider than Boobs TK. The Hot Dog Squad.
Why?
No.
Hey.
Like, why? As if there would be never press on this, you fucking dicks.
That might notice that
exactly.
You're calling yourselves the Hot Dog Squad. So after poor Maureen Hedge, he murdered another young woman called Vicky Lynn. Again, like he got into her house pretending to be the telephone repairman. And, you know, it took a lot of pictures. He chronicled a lot. And then His final victim was a 62-year-old woman called Dolores. And again, pretty much everyone was death by strangulation, mm-hmm. except for Catherine. Do you remember? And her brother who got shot.
Yes.
Catherine was stabbed. And so the thing was, one thing that the neighbors said later, but it's just mad the way later on you'd be like, oh yeah, we did yeah. always notice this about Dennis. But he, they said, had a kind of a shed, tree house. He had a tree house out back, like fucking probably his kid's tree house. Like, yeah. this is fucking creepy. And they said that he'd be out there in the tree house looking through kind of what looked like scrapbooks. And he used to take shit from these victims, like their driver's licenses,
little trophies,
bits of jewelry, anything he could get. And I'd say that again was all a part of like the kind of frittaging himself, like off all these different elements of his crime.
Was he hiding that in the treehouse?
I mean,
yeah,
or somewhere certainly. And he also then was like taunting the police through the media constantly, like sending photocopies of the stuff and things like that. And so it was like considered to be a complete cold case. So he stopped in 1991.
Yeah.
In 2004, like, it was considered a cold case. And there was like documentaries made.
Oh, so they had linked all the murders together at that stage.
They had by then linked the murders because he was nonstop banging on about it.
Of course.
Of course. And like sending the Xerox driver's licenses and other elements that kind of proved his involvement. He used to send cereal boxes with little surprises inside. It's really naff.
Yeah.
Stop being so naff, as well as being such a disgusting animal. So anyway, like, so they made a documentary of him, about him, I mean, in 2004. And it's mad because the documentary
prior to his arrest.
Yes. So in the documentary, it's still like the BTK killer is still at large. And who is he? But it's been 13 years since he's done anything that they know of.
Presumably he sees the documentary, delighted by it.
Yeah.
They're getting bits wrong. That's annoying him.
That's annoying him. And so then I have to just get this right. Okay, so he then, after the documentary and the investigation was kind of moved to cold case status, Dennis was very, very upset and feeling overlooked, unacknowledged. And he initiated 11 communications that would eventually lead to his downfall. So basically,
did he orchestrate his own arrest?
Yeah, he gave himself away.
Well,
not intentionally, just because he couldn't resist.
I think
the
when
attention.
You're carpet bombing them with communication, you're going to slip up.
But he was probably fairly narcissistically also believing himself to be kind of
infallible.
Absolutely. Yeah. At that point.
And
he
so much more
caught.
Intelligent than everybody.
They didn't come near him.
True.
He's uncatchable.
And so he, with all of those communications, he was, you know, sending evidence and things like that. They were, because of the DNA and stuff, they had been testing like thousands of men. Trying to find the killer. And he sent things like chapter headings for the BTK story and sending cute little letters from someone called Bill Thomas Killman, boobs torture kill. And so then he sent basically a whole load of, now, and I read in one article that he had said to the police, if I send you a floppy disk, can you trace that? And they were like, no, no. But then I didn't see that mentioned elsewhere at all. So I'm not positive that he checked with the police, because I also was like, how did they send their answer to him?
He would have rung them, presumably.
Aha. I was like, how could he have gotten the answer? But anyway, he sent like a whole big rake of bullshit on a floppy disk. And
And on that floppy disk was more stupid nonsense.
Stupid nonsense.
Like his writing, poetry, bits of shit, like
poetry,
just mass spam.
Bits of wanging on, like the letters are absolute nonce factory. he, like, his chapter headings that he proposes for his book.
Oh, he's proposing.
The BTK story. 1, a serial killer is born. 2, dawn. 3, fetish. 4, fantasy world. 5, the search begins. 6, haunts. 7, PJs? 9, hits. 10, treasured memories. Gag. Sorry, that's me saying gag. 11, final curtain call. 12, dusk. And then finally 13, will there be more? So that, you know, he's trying to author his own, like serial killer mystique bullshit. Yeah.
And the hot dog crew are receiving this just being bored and irritated, but also like thinking it's him for sure.
No. Sure, they haven't an absolute clue.
Okay, so this is just going into the kind of mass.
It's just all going into this big database of
mad people.
Like, this guy certainly is out there somewhere. So anyway, then he sends his little floppy disk. We all remember them.
Billy. Do you remember a floppy disk?
Do you remember floppy disks?
I do remember floppy disks.
Well, there you go. In our face.
We used them as coasters.
You might remember that even after you delete files on a floppy disk, there is metadata.
Did not know that.
When they got the floppy disk, they found in the metadata a deleted document that was called Christ Lutheran Church. And the documents showed that it had last been modified by Dennis.
You are fucking no shitting. Way. So yeah. A literal bullseye.
A bullseye.
Address and name.
A quick internet search determined that a Dennis Rader was president of the local church or the church council.
And in they go to get him.
Yeah, they just bopped on in, said, give us an old hair follicle with a root and DNA match. Bob's your uncle, as Jen would say, Fanny is your aunt. So he was sentenced. Now, very irritating. Well, no, I don't know, because I don't know how I feel about the death penalty. But he escaped the death penalty, basically, because it was reintroduced in 1994 and his last crime took place in 1991.
Oh, my God.
But like, better for it. He's serving 10 consecutive life sentences, a minimum of 175 years.
Yeah, but like
better that for him than
the poetry and the fucking
and
bullshit.
The fucking signed crime and scene pickies and trolling his daughter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when he was arrested, I mean, the gig was up. Did they even need a confession? Or
well, he initially, so like his DNA was a match.
Yeah.
And they had other circumstantial evidence.
Yeah.
Then, you know, he was given like a lawyer and stuff like that. And he was pleading not guilty. And then he said, what am I at? They have me. And said, I'm guilty. And then he described all the murders in detail and made no apologies.
Oh, wow.
And so imagine then at the sentencing,
the people he worked with in the church would have been.
Oh my God.
At the sentencing.
It's like the Lucy Letby stuff though.
I can't think about it. It's
don't
so
think about
terrifying.
It. But it's similar in its absolute.
But I think he had the signs of being a psychopath killer. He was just so astute that he was like building his life to allow him to be able to complete his crimes.
Yeah.
Like he knew the positions to put himself in the community so that no one would suspect him.
Yeah,
completely. And I'd say he also just got like such a buzz of being the man, like, just like, you know, I'm tricking everyone.
And like, away with it.
And so, some of his crimes, like one of his crimes he committed on his lunch break from work.
Wow.
Yeah.
What?
And another crime he committed when he was actually on a scouts trip.
No.
And he just ducked away for a bit.
Whoa.
Like.
The darkness.
Unimaginable.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. And like, okay, don't take this as gospel because this is just partial remembering from having read that book, which is, it's a while ago. But I seem to remember that like after all the crimes came out in 2005 and stuff, and like the kids at that stage were like, they were only like their 20s.
Yeah.
And they remembered, I think Kerry in her book said that they remembered being on a trip with their dad and that he had like ducked away for a time, and that later after it all came out, she realized it was like
the same time that that person had died?
No, but it was the same area.
Oh.
And there was some suggestion that like he maybe was like just kind of revisiting in that way that they say serial killers do that, that they continue to get pleasure and gratification from like visiting scenes of former crimes and stuff. And like, that's like, you know, you take your kids out and we all, you know, get bored sometimes, you know, entertaining young kids, but you pop in a podcast.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You don't
do a murder
visit a recent grave that you've dug.
Fucking hell.
And it's that's it. He's still alive, rotting away, boobs TK. There's current chat in the media about him being linked to two other cold cases. Again, because he's such a braggy brag, Mike Braggerson, it's kind of hard to... I don't know if he's... Like, it's interesting, do you know the way you were saying about, like, he wanted to get caught?
Yeah.
And I think, like, I'm like, yeah, that kind of feels true. But then another part of me is like, but who would want to get caught out on a silly floppy disk mistake?
Mm.
I feel like that would be very not him. And also, I feel a bit like...
if we're to believe that he finished murdering, maybe he did want to get caught. Finally bask in, like, was this not the end of the book? I mean, for him.
Yeah. Like, if he, like, he was nearly 60 when he was caught. Nearly.
Maybe
I think,
the kind
45.
Of the urge, the murderous urge had gone out of him a bit.
I don't know if it leaves people.
Yeah.
Well, in our experience, it seems and to get the urge, more stronger the longer we live.
And the urge to revel in all his crimes was as strong as ever in his late 60s.
And of course, no one was talking about the crimes, nowhere near as much as they had been during the time. So he obviously had a need for attention again. And what's the biggest attention of all? Only getting caught.
Yeah.
And then confessing in great detail is more attention, and people want to know more. Tell me more, Dennis, and why and how.
Dennis, how did you evade police for so long? Ugh, I just hate that.
He's particularly noxious individual. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, thank you, Sos.
Is it a thank you moment? I'm not sure.
I think
we haven't had
a
real
bit about him.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
But now we know more. And he's as big of a fucking asshole. And a boring loser.
He's such a loser. He's a freak.
A freak loser.
The cereal boxes. Eating the cereal.
So lame.
Thank you all.
Thank you guys.
Thank you guys for listening. If you loved Mindhunter and like me are mourning the fact that season 3 will never come, that was what they were going to do season 3 And they teed it up in season 2. They had a little bit of Dennis Radar in season 2.
Maybe one day though.
David Fincher said absolutely not.
Someone else could take
Very
it,
upset.
Why
well,
is
that's
he
true.
Being so annoying?
Why do we think it can only be David Fincher?
Exactly.
Maybe it could be a woman. Just a woman, please. Can we just have one woman do
Maybe
something?
Maybe BTK's daughter.
Or, you know, somebody non-binary.
That'd be strange.
That would be strange.
Not the non-binary thing, the daughter thing. Yeah. However, we'll see you on the flip side.
Bye. Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC.
For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.